Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, Carl Gallups continues his fascinating presentation on the hidden message of the Bible's first word. And then a little later, Greg Patton will be living in today's world. Friends, will you help us bring clarity to the world's chaotic noise? You can have a long-term impact on eternity and turn down the worldly noise. How? Well, by becoming a monthly partner, a faithful friend of Southwest Radio Ministries and Watchmen on the Wall. You can begin giving monthly today. Simply visit our website, swrc.com, or call 1-800-652-1144. Will you stand with us every month? Please begin your monthly giving today, 1-800-652-1144. Back in June, we held our Mysteries of the Bible Verse Conference. We had an outstanding lineup of speakers covering the topics your Sunday school teacher didn't talk about. Today, we have the privilege of continuing to listen to Carl Gallup's presentation on the hidden message of the Bible's first word. From the Mysteries of the Bible Verse Conference, here is Carl Gallup's.
Here's the cool thing. In that one word, Bereshit, that has only six letters, there are 12 Hebrew words that are used in the Word of God. And I actually tell you where in all these. And in my book, I've got it much better, much easier to look at. Now, please remember, this gets, you look up there and it might overwhelm you. You don't have to memorize all this. I'm just have it here so when I say things, you can refer to this and say, well, he's not lying. It's there. But anyway, so here we go. So I've got underlined the first letter and the last two. Now, when I say there are 12 words, please hear me. This is not a letter scramble where you can take my name, Gallups, and you can find up and ups and lap and gal and, but then you can take words, letters and scramble them around, make other words. That's not what this is. This is a symmetrical looking, the first and last two, the first two, the last two, the first two by themselves. Then drop the first letter, which is the preposition, in. And then you go to the next two, the next three, and then you'll see they're all symmetrically together. They're not take a letter here, take a letter here, take a letter. Oh, you can do a Hebrew word. No. So you see immediately almost every Hebrew that looks at this sees the word house. Ba'et, ba'et, ba'et. Okay? The covenant, brit, be. In our language, B-R-I-T, but that's kind of how you pronounce it. Or, brit, brit, which means the covenant. Son, it's in Aramaic, it's bar. But you say, well, why not? I thought son was like Ben Adam, the son of God. Or Ben Adam, the son of man, the son of man. Ben Elohim, the son of God. But bar is a magnified word. It's borrowed from the Aramaic in the same way we have a lot of borrowed words in the English. For example, if you washed your hair this morning with shampoo, that's a French word. We borrowed that. Okay? And so many of our words are borrowed, but they're more exotic and they sound better a lot of times. Well, the word bar is the Aramaic word for son. That's why to this day it's not called ben mitzvah. It's called bar mitzvah. And then when you look at Psalm chapter 2, where it says, why do the nations rage against God and his son? It eventually says, and you better kiss the ring, better kiss the hand of the son, lest God's wrath be poured. It's bar, bar, bar. Because the word, when you see that word, it means a special son, a separate son, not just Ben Adam, a son of man in the sense of a human. It doesn't, the word is bar. The Hebrew people know this. We borrow a lot of our English phrases from, for example, sir. If I say, yes, sir. Well, the original English was sire. God is a consuming fire. But that's what resh means. That word is there right in the middle of the house of God, the consuming fire of God, the fire of sacrifice. But watch, it gets way better. The 10th word. So you see, I'm sorry, the underlying I didn't do as well. I was trying to highlight down here, especially there's the Aleph Tah right in the middle, and here's the Aleph Tah. But you take that letter and that letter right there in that Aleph Tah scenario, and the word appointed is there. Shot, 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 shot. Okay? And then you take what's in between the Aleph and the Tah, and there's another Hebrew word, and we would pronounce it in alliteration phonetically. Shai, shai means the gift, the appointed gift. And then the 12th one. Take these last four letters. It's the word ashit. I will cause, I will put. Now, when you take all of those words, here's what it says in with those words. From the beginning, the Son, the firstborn, is the creator. The firstborn head. He's the Almighty, the El Shaddai, the Sheen, and the foundation and the pillar of the covenant household of God, which is the body that brings forth the fire of sacrifice from heaven. Yeshua is God's appointed gift from the beginning. He went to the cross of the covenant to establish the new covenant with his creation. Therefore, he alone presides over it all. Now, I want you to look at me for just a moment. We're going to go a little deeper. Think of this, the impossibility of this. Is there any six-letter English word that has 12 other English words strung together from beginning to end? It preaches the gospel. It gives you the whole message of the Bible. That's the whole message of the Bible. No wonder that letter was magnified. There's a hidden mystery here. And it's in this word. And you know what else it must have been saying? And it's in this entire verse. Because if you can't figure this message out, I'll paint you a picture. Three crosses, Aleph Tah in the middle. I mean, see, this is what I do. People's when I show them the three crosses and the cross, usually they go, that's pretty cool. And then if they don't like it or don't want it to be that, well, but that's a coincidence. That's just, yeah, it's just one. You're just playing with the letters and making things be what you want it to be. Well, okay, let's go look at the first word. The same message is there in words that are in the Bible. And when you put them together in the order that you find them, it comes up saying the same thing that the picture says, except with way more fill-in. He is the invisible God. He is the Almighty. He is the fire of sacrifice. He is the Aleph and the Tah. And right in the middle of it, he is the fire of sacrifice. And he is God's appointed gift to the world. The covenant that God makes. Aleph Tah. God who makes a covenant on a cross. He opened the eyes of the blind, and especially those born blind, that one man that was born blind. You know what the Bible says? Only God can literally open the eyes of the blind at his word. Do you know until today, just a few weeks ago, Elon Musk was talking about some technology they were working on to try to give sight to people who were born blind. Never in world history has a person who's been born blind had their sight restored, except Jesus did it. And all of the documents of the New Testament were written during that first generation of the people that either witnessed them or their children knew about it through their parents, and they had been in the new birth church and hearing the preaching and teaching. And we've got tens of thousands of copies of those documents, the most attested to historical, ancient historical event in the world. We have more documents attesting to the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ than we do, and this is a fact, look it up on the internet, we have 10 times more documents than we do of documents that testify that George Washington even lived. But we believe he lived. We believe he was the president. Oh, yeah, we know that. How do you know that? We got documents. Got 10 times more documents that Jesus died, buried, resurrected, published in the generation in which it happened. Are y'all following me? That's the first big boom of prophecy. The second big boom of prophecy, the return of the nation of Israel to his land. Listen to me. This is important because people will attack this when you say this. What they don't know is there are 50 prophecies from Deuteronomy to Zechariah. Deuteronomy, you know who the first person that gave a prophecy of the return of Israel? Moses. Before they even stepped into the promised land, and even he wasn't allowed to go in. But in Deuteronomy chapter 29 and 30, and he even starts way back in Deuteronomy 4 or 5, I think. But he's talking about what other God is like this, who takes a people that are not a people, and he turns them into a nation that the whole world will know. Who does that? And when he says, what other God, it's little g, means demons. What demon can do this? Satan can't do this. I am the Lord your God. I'm going to do it. And then Moses goes on to prophesy their future. He goes into a spirit of prophecy, and he says, you're going to come into a land filled with milk and honey and vines that are not yours and houses are not yours, and you're going to enjoy life, and you're going to be blessed, and on and on. And of course, you know, from you eventually it's veiled, but will come the Messiah. But then he goes on to say, but in the day that you rebel, meaning that's going to happen, God will scatter you to the nations. And then in chapter 30 it says, but in those days, in the last days, he will bring you back to where you were. He will keep his covenant with you. He is Shomer HaBrit, the keeper of the covenant, the keeper of his promises. Moses said that. Zechariah is the last one. 50 prophecies of the return of Israel. I hear people say, you can use this. I hear people say all the time today, don't look at it right now, just write it down, think about it, but I want you to hear what I'm saying because I'm going to explain it, then you'll go and you'll see it's there. Isaiah 49, he gave a prophecy also of the return of Israel, but then he said, now when you are there, when you get there, when you come back, remember Isaiah's going, he's prophesying the Babylonian captivity that's coming, the northern empire's already been defeated, I mean, and he, so now what he's saying is, but God has told me that he will bring you back. Now, when you get there, what you're going to say is, this land is too small. There's not enough room for us here. See, it's smaller because people will say, that can't be Israel because it's not the same size as the kingdom was. God says, I know that. I'll even put it in my word. You're going to say, it's too small. A lot of people don't know this, that it's there. You get somebody comes to you and say, it can't be us. It's just too small. That's a fake Israel. Well, first of all, I don't find a prophecy of a fake Israel anywhere in the Bible. I find 50 prophecies of Israel coming back. And then it says, well, it's a creation of the Gentiles. United Nations, the Balfour Declaration, all that. You know what Isaiah 49 says? And you're going to ask me on that day, how did these people get here? And I will say to you, I summoned the Gentile nations to bring them. It's in Isaiah 49. You can give the Lord a hand. You can read it. I promise you it's there. Don't look at it now. Look at me. Well, quit reading your Bibles. Oh, when have you ever heard a preacher say that? Don't read your Bibles. Listen to me. No, I'm just saying, I just have some things I want to share with you. And then, like Ezekiel 37, a huge, there of those 50, some of them are just a verse or two or three or four or a couple of paragraphs. Some of them are whole chapters. Isaiah 49, Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel 38, Ezekiel 39. And so they're there. So that's the second boom of prophecy. And you know what God says about all of that? In almost all 50, not in all of them, but in bunches of them, he says, I will do this so that the nations will know I am God. I am God. No other God, like Moses prophesied, no other God can do this. Not only to take a people that aren't a people and make them into one of the most well-known, the mightiest nation that generation saw for 500 years. He says, but then I will scatter them. He talks about their ultimate punishment for turning their backs on him. And he says, but then to keep my promise, I'm going to bring them back in the last days. They've been there less than 80 years. We're the first generation to see it. I'm not 80 years old, so it has always been there in my life. And probably for most everybody here, if you're 80 or over, then you might even remember it or, you know about that it just happened when you were being born or whatever. But it's young. compared to all of world history, 2,600 years there was no Israel. And then in our generation, it came back. There's only one book on the planet that dared to give 50 prophecies of its return. And it would be too small. And the Gentiles would be used to bring it back. And it is right where it's supposed to be. It's unbelievable. The Hebrew language has been restored because they were mixed among the nations. And they, you know, have you heard of Yiddish and all that, where they take the Hebrew and the language of the people they were there and kind of mix it and match it, and kind of like we call Spanglish. Pero yo hablo latino y español también. Es la verdad. I said, but I speak Spanish too. So I said, that's the truth. And but I try not to speak Spanglish. I just speak Spanish. But a lot of the Hebrew people came back to the land speaking that Yiddish and other languages mixed together. But now Hebrew's back. And now we've got the Dead Sea Scrolls that came about in our historical generation. And now we're looking and it matches the Word of God. I mean, almost 100% all the way through. It's unbelievable what God's doing, because we're living in the time Jesus did come. Israel did come back. That's the second big boom of prophecy. The next big boom of prophecy. I know you can nitpick it and say, well, it's the rise of the Antichrist. No. The next big boom of prophecy, every boom is about Jesus. He's coming again. Those are the three big booms of prophecy. We're living between boom number two and boom number three. We are now living in the most prophetic times since the first coming of Jesus. Folks, today Israel is at war with Iran. The ancient name for Iran is Persia. Until 1935, every map and every globe had the name Persia, where we now have the name Iran. The headlines today, in case you haven't seen it, says Israel has now launched jets, and they're, I don't know what they're armed with, but they said, we're going to reduce Tehran today to fire and rubble. I don't know if this is World War III starting or what's happening, but I do know when you go to the scriptures, Ezekiel 37, when Israel comes back and it becomes strong in the land, it's, by the way, the number one superpower in the Middle East. And of course, it's connected to the United States and Great Britain, other huge superpowers. So there they are. And Ezekiel 38 says, when they're back and they get strong, then a coalition of nations is going to form and they're going to attack them. Led by Gog and Magog, and most scholars for the longest said that must mean Russia, and they had all their reasons why, and I think Russia's definitely involved. But now, some of the more modern scholars who are seeing everything happening and doing deeper studies of the genealogies of the nations, they're saying that Gog Magog may represent that whole Asian continent of Russia, China, the Stan nations, the Turkic people, although they're mentioned there as the House of Togarma, for example. To this day, they teach in their schools that's one of the descendants of the people that got off the ark. Where? In Turkey. Where? In Mount Ararat. The last book of the Bible was written to who first? To seven churches. Where? In Turkey. I mean, keep your eyes on Turkey, guys. Keep your eyes on Israel. Keep your eyes on Turkey. Ezekiel 38 says that they're going to be led by Gog and Magog, and Persia will be with them. And then it lists all these other nations, and every one of them now are Muslim nations. I mean, it's right there. And that was written 2,800 years ago. Yet we're the first generation not only to see it building and building and building, but in the last few days and a couple of years ago on October 7th, we watched Persia, through its proxies, launch an attack. Now, Iran's just sending missiles and drones. They don't go through proxies now. They're just sending them. And now Israel has taken out their nuke sites, taken out all their commanders in chief, taken out everybody. And I'm telling you, Donald Trump said just the other day, and I don't think he's the savior of the world. I'm just saying I'd rather have him than the person that he was running against. But anyway, lesser of two evils, yeah, all that. I mean, he's not the savior of the world. But I do believe, for whatever reason, God's hand's on him and using him. You know, he can lift that hand too. But it is. And the bottom line is, he said just yesterday, he said, you know, all of these leaders, I begged them for weeks and weeks and months, sit at a table, let's just talk through this. They didn't do it. Now they're dead. And he basically said, we're coming for the rest of you. I don't know what this means. I'm not a prophet like that. I don't set dates on the return of the Lord. I just know it's soon. And if it's not in our collective lifetime, it might be in the next or the next, maybe, if it goes that long. But you know what that makes us? Prophets to the next generation. Ambassadors of the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ. To him goes all glory. Ata Adonai HaKabod. Ata Yahweh Elyon Melech Al Kol Haaretz. You are the Lord of glory. You are the Lord God Most High over all the earth. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Thank you for letting me bring all this. Bereshit, in the beginning, God settled it. First letter, magnified. Look here, there's a mystery. God bless y'all. Thank you.
Today's presentation from Carl Gallups was originally given at this year's Mysteries of the Bible Verse Conference. All of the presentations from the two-day event are now available on a special 6-DVD set. Topics as varied as UFOs, hidden messages, aliens, giants in scripture, demonic oppression, dinosaurs, and secret societies. The topics are sensational, but grounded in scripture. Prepare to have your mind blown and your faith encouraged. Order the 2025 Mysteries of the Bible Verse DVD set when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order on our website, swrc.com. The Mysteries of the Bible Verse 6 DVD set features presentations by the full lineup of speakers, including Derek Gilbert, Sharon Gilbert, Micah Van Hus, Carl Gallups, Michael Hoggard, and Mac Dominic. Order your copy today, 1-800-652-1144. There are a number of apps for your cell phone that can get you from point A to point B. Pulling the map out of the glove box is so yesterday in this modern world. However, none of these programs tell how to get to the most important destination mankind has or will ever know. On today's installment of Living in Today's World, Pastor Greg Patton is here to talk about getting there.
Have you ever used MapQuest? It's really an ingenious website that many have probably used at one time or another. Simply type in where you live, where you want to go, there it is. Gives you step-by-step directions for your final destination. But, you know, you can't give directions on how to get to heaven from your current location. Only the Bible, the Word of God, can give you those instructions. The year leading up to the conversion of George Whitefield, the famous English evangelist, is a good example of how God will have nothing to do with good works or acts of self-denial for salvation, getting to heaven. Lost souls remain lost, if that's your direction. Both are repulsive in the sight of Almighty God. Shortly after entering his third year at Oxford, young Whitefield underwent a spiritual crisis. It was said of him, the life of God in his own soul was what he craved and must have, but how to obtain it? The thought of his sins caused him to sweat and groan. He shunned all company, wandering the fields and woods, deep in prayer. George Whitefield, sometimes lying all night upon freezing ground. He wore the shabbiest of clothing, his only meals dried bread and tea. In time, even his prayers seemed to become sinful. This is from George Whitefield in The Great Evangelical Awakening by Anthony Beaupere, the Protestant Truth Society there in London. It wasn't until Mr. Whitefield came to the end of himself that he began to reflect on his reading of Christian literature, how it was not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. With the burden of sin greater than he could bear, he turned to Jesus Christ, the great sin bearer, and was gloriously saved by the grace of God. In his own words, he said about his conversion, God was pleased at length to remove the heavy load, to enable me to lay hold of his dear son by living faith. Oh, with what joy, joy unspeakable, even joy that was full of and great with glory. And my soul was filled when the weight of sin went off, and an abiding sense of pardoning love of God, and a full assurance of faith broke upon my desolate soul. He alone can save you from your sins today. So have you ever done that? Cried out to God, asked God to forgive you of your sins? Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a great time. Today is the day of salvation. Why not cry out to Him today? Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Accept Christ as Savior. It's still fresh in my mind, reflecting back to Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Five people, men, women, and my grandson, all raised their hands for salvation and all prayed the sinner's prayer, asking God to forgive them of their sins, invite Jesus Christ into their life. They were miraculously saved Resurrection Sunday. Oh, gives me goosebumps. They're all heaven-bound, and you can do it today, my friend. MapQuest? Nope, can't get there from here, but you can get there by asking God to forgive you of your sins and inviting Jesus Christ into your life. What a fantastic day. You know, I'm continually reminding people because this happened to me 50 years ago. But here's a great truth. Jesus Christ is not an answer. He, my friend, is the answer.
Just as David declared to Goliath, we shout back at the forces of evil, the battle is the Lord's. Our current financial crisis is in God's hands. He'll give us the victory, and He alone will be glorified. Would you sling a rock at the head of this Goliath today? How? Well, just as God worked through David to accomplish a miraculous victory and destroy the mighty giant, would you prayerfully consider what you can give today to sustain Southwest Radio Ministries at this critical moment? This spiritual and financial giant threatens to undo this ministry, but God is greater. God often chooses to do amazing work through people who trust God. What eternal impact could you make today by partnering with us, dear friend? Please join us in prayer and stand with us at this critical moment in our ministry's history. Your one-time and monthly gifts will enable us to continue slinging stones at the spiritual forces of evil. So please give today by visiting our website, swrc.com. That's swrc.com, or simply call 1-800-652-1144. We need to hear from you today. Thank you for standing with us as a faithful army of watchmen on the wall. To learn more about how you can stand with us and have an impact for eternity, visit our website, swrc.com.